We're going to continue our study tonight of the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. We have been taking one aspect of the fruit of the Spirit each week. And tonight we're going to deal with something that I know I need a lot of work on. And that is the fruit of the Spirit is gentleness. And out of all the aspects of the fruit of the Spirit, the grace of gentleness is probably the most neglected and the most misunderstood. When was the last time you heard somebody praying, or when was the last time you prayed, "Lord, fill me more with this grace of gentleness"? But if we're going to be conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit must cultivate this precious fruit of gentleness. And I really believe it's what sets a sanctified Christian apart in his attitudes, his language, and behavior from a world. We are living in a world that is increasingly harsh, bitter, hateful, and cruel, and mean-spirited. Gentleness may be defined as a sweet mildness of temper. I told you I need to work on it. And disposition marked by sensitivity and respect for the feelings of others. Those who have the grace of gentleness operating in their lives will see the importance of treating others with Christian courtesy and also with kindness. I like the illustration Jerry Bridges gave. He said, gentleness is illustrated by the way we would handle a carton of exquisite crystal glasses. It is the recognition that the human personality is valuable but fragile and must be handled with care. And when I read that, I thought about the way my wife gets on me when we have two flutes. You know what those? It's a long, little slender glass. She loves drinking her juice out of those flutes. And if I'm washing them, she always tells me, Tommy, you got to be careful with those. You got to do it. Yes, I. And so when I was studying this, I thought, you know, for her sake, I need to start handling them things a little bit nicer. I don't want to break one. Now, gentleness is different from meekness. They're often confused with one another. Meekness, now they are similar, but gentleness is an active trait. It's shown by how you treat other people. Whereas meekness is more of a passive trait, describing the way that you are to act when others mistreat you. So there is a difference. Gentleness is not just an attitude. It's marked by a definite action in the way we deal with other people on a day-to-day basis. The grace of gentleness should be manifested, demonstrated in our homes, in the workplace, in our community, in our churches, on social media, if we are to recommend this grace to others. Now, let me give you some examples of gentleness. One reason why the grace of gentleness is listed, I'm going to have trouble coughing tonight, I can tell it. One reason why it's listed as one of the aspects of the fruit of the Spirit, because it's a trait that exists and is manifested by God. And God is the Father of all true Christians. He has appointed the Holy Spirit to cultivate in each one of His children this grace of gentleness. The Father wants His children to bear His image and to bear the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to what's said about God. Isaiah 40, verses 10 and 11. Behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand, and His arm shall rule for Him. Behold, His reward is with Him, and His work before Him. He shall feed His flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with His arm, and carry them in His bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. Now, I can't think of anyone stronger and more powerful than God. Yet, He is depicted as one who gently carries the lambs and leads them. I think it's a powerful illustration. God is likened to a tender shepherd who lovingly looks after the lambs of His flock. God is continually stooping down to help the weak and the struggling lambs of the flock. He's sensitive to our needs. He cares about our feelings. Jesus Christ is called the Good Shepherd who gives His life for the sheep. The Lord Jesus is the personification of gentleness in His treatment of others. And all of us who have been saved have been predestined to be conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. So if we are to be like Christ, then we must have this grace of gentleness working in us. Matthew chapter 12, verses 18 through 21, gives a description in the way that Jesus treated others. It says, "Behold my servant, whom I have chosen, my beloved, in whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my Spirit upon him, and he shall show judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not strive nor cry, neither shall any man hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed shall he not break, and smoking flax shall he not quench, till he send forth judgment unto victory, and in his name shall the Gentiles trust." Here the Lord Jesus is depicted as a servant who ministered to people who were hurting, spiritually weak, and possessing little faith. Rather than quenching, breaking, or hurting those that He found in need, He dealt with them graciously and gently. I often think about the way that He treated the Samaritan woman. He knew everything about her. He knew about her adulterous past. He knew about her bad reputation. But Jesus did not treat her disrespectfully or unkindly. He showed her the magnitude of her sin, but He did so in a gentle and a caring manner. So gentleness is not at all inconsistent with the strictest adherence to the truth, even when that truth may be offensive to a depraved heart. Because she was offended. But the Lord did deal with her in grace. The gentle person takes care that he adds nothing by his own manner that is likely to offend, but rather strives to present the truth and administer rebuke in such a way that the truth is recommended and the rebuke is sweetened by a gentle and mild disposition. Another example I think of as I read my Bible is David. David was a powerful king. He was a mighty warrior. He led men in battle. But he also exhibited the grace of gentleness. You ever stop to consider the kindness that he showed to Mephibosheth? Mephibosheth was of the house of Saul. They were sworn enemies to David. He was a fugitive, and he was lame on his feet. Mephibosheth added nothing and provided nothing for David the king. He was a man who had absolutely nothing to offer David. Yet the Bible says that David showed the kindness of God unto Mephibosheth. 2 Samuel chapter 9 and verse 3. And how his testimony must have affected the life of Mephibosheth. David treated him like he was one of his own sons. And then another example of gentleness is seen in the life of the Apostle Paul as he ministered to the saints of Thessalonica. When he came to that city, this was a Gentile city that was overrun with idolatry. They were practicing pagans. But they were transformed by the sovereign grace of God. They gave up their idols. They turned to the living God and they turned from their idols to serve the true and living God. And here's how he described his ministry among those Thessalonican believers. But we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children. So being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because you were dear unto us. That's 1 Thessalonians 2, 7 through 8. The picture is the gentleness of a nursing mother who cares for a newborn babe. She's careful in the manner that she handles and cares for the child. She speaks to that child mildly and lovingly, being careful to do nothing that would harm or trouble his rest. The gentleness of that mother forms a lasting bond of love and communion with her baby. And the baby learns that there is comfort and sweet peace to be enjoyed in the arms of his loving mother. That's the picture he's painting. The way that he dealt with those newly converted babes in Christ. They must have been so greatly encouraged by a man of God that dealt with them in gentleness and grace. We need more preachers like that. I need to be more like that. Now, secondly tonight, we're going to look at the exercise of gentleness. The fruit of gentleness is worked into the heart and the life of a child of God by the power of the Holy Spirit. And as the Spirit of God draws you into a deeper fellowship with the Almighty, you begin to sense your own unworthiness. You see your need to depend entirely upon God. And the more that we're humbled by the abounding grace of God, the more this grace of gentleness will flow in our lives. You see, humility contrition, repentance when we're wrong. Have a way of tempering our disposition as we experience the gentle and the caring way in which God deals with us. Just think about the times that your mind's not right, your heart's not right. And yet God deals with you so graciously, so kindly. He doesn't withhold His presence from you. He bids you come to Him in prayer. You have access to the throne of grace in the name of Jesus. The psalmist said in Psalm 131, 1 and 2, Lord, my heart is not haughty, nor mine eyes lofty. Neither do I exercise myself in great matters or in things too high for me. Surely, I have behaved and quieted myself as a child that is weaned of his mother. My soul is even as a weaned child. The practice and the exercise of gentleness will be manifested by those who have the heart and the disposition of a servant. 2 Timothy 2:24, and the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. A true servant of God is considerate and caring in the way he deals with those he's ministering unto. Mom, Dad, you minister to your children every day. See that you treat them with gentleness and grace. You see, if we're concerned for the welfare and edification of others, we'll be careful not to be mean-spirited. We'll be careful not to be cruel or hateful. And if we're going to exercise the grace of gentleness, we have to learn to control our tongue, what we say, how we express ourselves. You know, a lot of harm is done by our tongue. There's a lot of it going on right now. And the normal fleshly way is to react and to exact your pound of flesh and get revenge by lashing out. But if we're going to use our words aright, we have to be considerate of others. The Bible says this in Ephesians 4. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Ephesians 4, 29 through 32. Titus 3:2. to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. Even when we have to rebuke others and expose sin, we need to do it in a manner that's tempered with kindness. Proverbs chapter 16, 25 and 26, "The heart of the wise teacheth his mouth, and addeth learning to his lips. Pleasant words are as an honeycomb, sweet to the soul, and health to the bones." Even when we have to deal with somebody, there's one woman that Maxine Waters, if I hear her voice, it just goes right through me. And I hear it occasionally. She's rude. She's hateful. She's spiteful. She's vicious. But we don't have the right to act in the same manner. So don't be like Maxine Waters. 1 Peter 3:9, "Not rendering evil for evil, or railing for railing, but contrawise blessing. Knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing." We need to learn how to use our words in a kind, gentle, gracious manner. Proverbs 15, 1 and 2. "A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. The tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright, but the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness." Now those are convicting verses to me, because I'm a tad bit sarcastic. Just a tad. And it's something I got to overcome. If we're going to exercise the fruit of gentleness, we have to drink deeply from Christ. The deeper our fellowship with the Lord Jesus, the greater will be our desire to be like Him. 2 Corinthians 10:1. "Now I, Paul, myself beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ." If we were more gentle, wouldn't we do better in our homes? If we were more like Christ, wouldn't we treat each other in the Lord's church with greater respect and love? Wouldn't it be an amazing thing if our attitude, if our grace of gentleness, the manifestation of it, would have an impact on the environment in which we live, whether it be at work or at home, in our church, in society at large? So quickly, we're going to cover some enemies to gentleness. An irritable and a mean spirit is opposed to the grace of gentleness. I've met Christians, at least professing Christians, who know the truth, but who are ill-mannered and repulsive in the way they present it to others. They may be sound in their principles, industrious in their disciplines, but they're ready to fuss and fight and be critical over what they see as the slightest offense. And they make people uncomfortable. I don't want to be like that. The Bible says in Proverbs 15, 18, "A wrathful man stirreth up strife, but he that is slow to anger appeaseth strife." We do well to consider the tenor of our disposition. When others see you coming, do they desire to flee from your presence because you're irritable, critical, and mean? The only time I've seen Joe like that is when he's baling hay and it's real hot, his back's hurting. Well, I'll not go into that any farther. But for the most part, he's pretty gentle and gracious. The point I'm making is even Joe has his moments. It's hard to fathom, but it's true. Where that somebody can be irritable. Another enemy, arrogance and pride. If you have a holier-than-thou attitude, if you think you're better and more spiritual than other people, you'll possess little the grace of gentleness. If you speak to others in a tone of superiority and you are so self-righteous that you regard everyone as your inferior, you'll never demonstrate the grace of gentleness. Another enemy is coldness and a spirit of unfriendliness. It's an enemy to the virtue of gentleness. He that hath friends must show himself friendly. We ought to treat each other with friendliness, kindness, courtesy, not coldness, not being disrespectful. Now, another thing is the way we talk. You can't be rude. You can't be crude and possess the trait of gentleness. Again, see why I didn't preach on this last Wednesday night? I needed to bone up on it a little bit. We'll close tonight with the excellence of gentleness. What's excellent about it? It glorifies God. Because it demonstrates that the sanctifying power of the Holy Spirit is operating in our lives. It means that the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, is working. So I'd ask you tonight, is the Holy Spirit producing in you a spirit and a disposition of gentleness? Is the Holy Spirit teaching you to be more gentle and kind in your home? The way you treat one another in your home, in the church, where you work? If so, then you're growing in grace and in the grace of gentleness. Another excellent feature of gentleness is when you're displaying it, you're going to be a blessing to so many people. You're going to be an encouragement. You'll make people feel restful and at ease in your presence. So, if people can't stand to be around you, you need some work. You need some work. I've met people, preachers and Christians alike, who have a mean spirit. And that's not the way of the Lord. When we exhibit gentleness, it proves that God's working in us, that a spirit of wisdom is working in us. Listen to this. James 3, verses 17 and 18. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. When this kind of wisdom and gentleness is permeating our life, we become a blessing rather than a burden to those that are around us. The psalmist said this, and we'll close. Thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation, and thy right hand hath holden me up. And listen to this. and thy gentleness hath made me great. Thou hast enlarged my steps under me, that my feet did not slip. Psalm 18, verses 35 and 36, thy gentleness hath made me great. All that the character of God might be worked in us, that we might exhibit this grace, this fruit of gentleness.